prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Welcome and greetings to Ever Beyond. This is the 17th of February, 2013. We're nearly in Pisces. It's lovely to speak to you all. Tonight, my very special guest has come all the way from another galaxy. No, just kidding. He's an earthling, just like you and I. But he does have contact with the Andromedan beings, and we're very pleased to bring some new news that he has. My guest name is Mark Kimmel. His website is cosmicparadigm.com. Paradigm, P-A-R-A-D-I-G-M. He has a page of his own at this group, which is Athabantian, A-T-H-A-B-A-N-T-I-A-N. And that's the name of one of the ships that no doubt Mark will be telling you about very, very soon. I've had Mark on the show before. Actually, it wasn't exactly this show. It was one of the Tuesday shows on Revolution Radio, it was just after I took over from Rebecca Jernigan. And in fact, Mark had taken a break for a few years, and the last person that he had, the last person who interviewed him, was in fact Rebecca Jernigan. So. It's a lovely little full circle. So, welcome in to the Wolf Spirit Radio Wolf Pack, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening, I believe it is where you are.
It is indeed evening here in northern Scotland. And whereabouts are you?
I'm in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. We are up at about 7,500 feet high in the mountains of Colorado here in the U.S. So it's quite interesting to be able to talk with you in this way. I every time I do this, I find it totally fascinating that we can sit here and have a conversation like this. It just, it's marvelous. It really is. So thank you very much, JP, for having me today. It's an exciting time in which we live, indeed.
Yeah, it is a very, very exciting time. And much has been going on, although people think, oh, 2012, nothing really happened. I would say, in my personal life, things did happen, but it wasn't like big, it wasn't like there were meteors falling out of the sky and crashing into Russia or anything like that. No, nothing like that happened, did it? But it happened.
Well, actually, there were even larger things that happened, which is what we're going to talk about this afternoon.
Absolutely. So, where do you want to start?
Well, you know, let me say that what happened to me in December of this past year was probably the most important thing that has ever happened to me in my life. And the reason that I came to this planet is now fairly evident. I'm also being told that the events of December 2012 are the most important events in all of physical creation. So let's see if we can put some meat on those very skinny bones there. And we should have an interesting conversation, I do believe.
Wow. Okay, let's cut, as it were, to the car chase.
All right, here we go. As you were saying, a lot of people are saying, well, nothing really happened on this magical date of December 21st, 2012. And from my perspective, a lot happened. It was quite an adventure, and we will get to that. I don't know about you, but I am feeling differences in my body. I am noticing differences of behavior in other people. From my perspective, I am seeing changes in what we call the third dimension. So I would throw that out to you and to your listeners and say, stay tuned. Maybe we can supply some of the answers to these kinds of things.
I'm looking forward to that.
Maybe a little bit of review as to how I came to be here and what I'm doing, giving out these outlandish statements like I've been making. In 1987, I received a wake-up, a tap on the shoulder, if you will. There were three beings that came into my room several nights in a row. I had no idea what was going on, but they scared me. And I said, go away, I want no part of this. And eventually they did depart, leaving me with a single word called institute, which will come full circle, and I will talk about the Institute of Light, which eventually came to be. So institute, on the basis of that, I began to look at my business life. I was deeply involved in what we here in America call the venture capital business, starting up companies, helping people like entrepreneurs get going, providing money. My business partners almost immediately began to sense that I had lost my cutting edge, if you will, of the venture capital business. I was no longer, as they said, the eagle with the blood on the beak. Yeah, that's about what it was. And it didn't take very long, two or three years, to where they not so politely asked me to leave the organization. And I did, which I'm very grateful to them for doing that, because I probably wouldn't have done it without that very, very strong prodding on their part. So that turned out to be a very wonderful thing, actually. I didn't like it at the time. I hated it because I had been the founder of this company. Subsequent to that, about 9 years later, I stopped all my business career. I stopped all my boards of directors. I stopped all my investing. I'd been doing some of that on my own after leaving the formal organization. And I decided, okay, it's time to go back and go to school. Figure out maybe a new career path, something else to do. So I went back to school and I was studying psychology, a master's degree in psychology, and typing an academic paper, and all of a sudden a book began to spill out of that computer I was on, and 90 days later I had a book.
Oh, and Andy?
Totally unexpected. Okay, I had a book. Now, I hadn't ever intended to write a book. That was nothing I had ever planned to do. I didn't want to be a writer. I didn't really have no ambitions at all. And so I went back to school a little more to learn how to write. And my first book, Trillium, came out of that. And subsequent to that, there was a second book called Decimal and a third book called One. Now, all three of these are written in story form. Somewhat autobiographical, but by no means totally. They're a compilation of experiences, and I do have, however, have one fellow who came to me soon after Trillion was published and said, Mark, this is the story of my life. How did you know? So I would say there are a number of things that have happened as depicted in Trillion, Decimal and One, and a lot of them are true, coming true. I then wrote a fourth book, Birthing a New Civilization. And then a fifth book has come along in recent times, which is a compilation of several years' worth of postings that I did. Now, as to those postings, as I was finishing up this the third book in the trilogy, One, I began to get messages from some beings. I wasn't quite sure who they were, but they said, look, we've been the ones that have been helping you write these books, and now we want to take this to the next step. We want you to post some things. We'll tell you what we want you to post, and you'll post them on the internet. And I said, are you crazy? I'm not going to do anything like that. And they said, well, that's what we want you to do. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, the way these things work, 2 weeks later, I was posting things on the internet. Yes, you chuckle. You know some of this firsthand, I expect.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard this kind of story a lot because it just becomes something you can't not do.
That's right. That's right. And so we posted some things on the internet, and the first of these came from a fellow by the name of Justine, who I didn't know exactly who he was in the first place, but he was posting, giving me some interesting messages, and I was posting them. And then came a woman by the name of Marini, and she also was giving me information, and I was posting that on the internet. And about that time, they said, well, Mark, you know that you and the two of us have been incarnating on a little planet called Akima, which is way over in the Andromeda Galaxy. And I said, oh, yeah? And they said, yes. And you know what? We found you. You came here to Earth to incarnate on this planet, having incarnated on Akima a number of times. And we had so much fun there together. But we found you, and now we're giving you this information to put up on your website. And I said, okay. So now, I had put it up on the website over in a little place called Mark's Corner. I was kind of hoping nobody would find it. You know how that goes? Well, they found it, and Mark's Corner began to get a lot of followers internationally. It's now been translated into about 10 different languages, including Korean and Japanese and Swedish and Norwegian and Spanish and French and et cetera, et cetera, and Russian. As well now as more recent postings have all gone to Athabantium, which they came along just over a year ago, and they said, Mark, you're putting too much of your own twist on this. We want to go and just clean these messages up, and we'll just talk, and you can post them and not make any comments about them. I said, that's fine with me. And so we started this posting at Athabantium, and some new entities showed up. Brenton, who is also from Andromeda. Brenton's an interesting fellow because he doesn't have a physical presence. He has advanced far enough that he no longer has a physical body. And then there is Adriel, who is a celestial. And you'll hear me talk about celestials quite a bit. A celestial in my vocabulary substitutes for angels and archangels and all of that. And Adriel would like to be called a celestial. And then most recently, Toth has come along, and Toth also is a celestial. So there's all of this information now being thrown at me. And about 3 years ago, they said, well, it's time to move. We want you to move from where you're living, and we want you to go to somewhere in southwest Colorado. And I said, well, why should I do that? And they said, well, that's what we'd like you to do. And I said, well, I'm not moving just because you asked me to. And they said, well, we'll show you. So I was down here in southwest Colorado, driving in the mountains, and all of a sudden they started giving me information about what has become known as the Institute of Light. And we established that in Colorado in the fall of 2009, which I guess now is 3.5 years ago. And so my wife Heidi and I moved here, and the Institute of Light, which is a project published, that it is a joint project between myself and the folks from Andromeda. And what we do at the Institute of Light is we have workshops. We show videos. We show videos about once a month. We have various groups that get together at the Institute. We have men's groups and women's groups. We have meditation groups. We have workshops. that type of thing, as well as having guest speakers come in. What we found here in Pagosa Springs was a group of highly conscious people, and it's been quite a delightful change for us. Which then leads me to what has happened in terms of information coming in. So I think that's enough background. Do you have any questions, JP?
So you basically, you move from a very kind of, what people would call a 3D world, into something that is you're not only recognizing that, that you have, how do we say, we can't say that, I mean, you were born on this planet, but, you have, your soul has extraterrestrial origin, yes? And you find yourself on this planet. Do you know how many lives you've incarnated on this planet, or is it just the one, or is it?
This is the first one in recent times. I have a memory of having been back at the time of Atlantis, and I have a pretty clear memory of that. I have been told that, Mark, we don't want you to know any other than that, because it's going to screw you up. people that get too much knowledge about all their past lives, then they start living in their past lives instead of in their current life. And that is a very dangerous path. So they've asked me not to go and investigate that any further, so I've chosen not to.
Yeah, I understand that. For a similar reason, I don't really want to delve too much, but I feel that I've been here quite a long time, and that I shouldn't really have been here a long time, but it was kind of accidental, but here I am anyway. So that's brought you here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so here we are, and now let me see if I can lay some groundwork for the information I'd like to convey to everyone. Maybe the best way to start this would be to get some definitions. You have referred to third dimension. And for me, third dimension, I call it an energy construct. Kind of like an operating system for a computer. You think of the movie Matrix, and how in that movie you could get plugged into the real world or into the Matrix. Well, that's a very accurate depiction of what the third dimension is.
So the
we are living in a world that has been constructed for us. There are lots of rules and regulations. It's home to the rational mind, to separation, controls, fears, judgment, war, violence, distrust, all those things are the way in which the game is played in third dimension. And for, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, okay, this is the game you play, and then you die. So we come,
Great, eh?
And it's not really a very fun game. But we all keep coming back here, or at least some of us do, because we find it interesting. And, there are other places where you can go to play the game, some with more rigid and some with less rigid. Where I was incarnating on Akima, it's more of a fifth dimensional planet and a lot fewer rules and regulations. So I was quite set back when I came here and has taken me. I've never really felt like I fit into this whole scheme of things. So then I want to differentiate between the third dimension and physical form. Physical form is kind of like the computer that runs the energy construct that has all the rules and regulations in it. So think of the physical form as the computer and third dimension as the software. I think it was Shakespeare that said, "All the world is a stage and we are the players upon it." Physical form is the stage, and we are the players that are on that stage. And the reason I'm belaboring some of this, even though it's old information to a lot of people, is that we're going to come along and talk about changes to the third dimension and to physical form. Scientists are saying that this physical form, which we look out through the telescopes and all that, and we see the stars and the galaxies and the new galaxies being formed and all that, well, that is indeed a physical form. But that's not the same as the third dimension, which is the way in which we relate to each other, the way in which the players on the stage speak their parts to each other, carry out their, you know, their roles in life and that type of thing. Then we get to the fifth dimension, which is like putting a different operating system into the computer. A whole new way. A whole new way of looking, a whole new way of seeing and feeling, and opens up a whole raft of opportunities which were never available in third dimension.
So that's a little like taking Ubuntu and replacing the operating system on Windows, on a Windows PC, with Ubuntu, which gives you a whole lot of other ways of doing word processing and all the same things, plus a lot more, and it's free.
Yes. Yes, or it's like giving all of the actors on the stage a whole new script from which to go and carry out.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fifth dimension. The interesting part about the fifth dimension is it's accessible only through your heart, through feelings, and through knowing. There is no ability to get there with the rational mind. You can't do it. It's very difficult to talk about. It's quite easy to experience with a certain amount of effort. And there are aspects, once you get there, it's you're functioning from the heart. You are telepathic. You understand that you are in oneness with everything, and you're able to manifest. So it's quite a wonderful place. I have been there. I understand it, and I'm able to maintain it for some of the time. And then there are other dimensions, all the way from 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And they are also energy constructs, gateways, if you will, to other ways of behaving. They're more than just an application. They're like a whole new way to have your computer behave. And again, I have been in some of those places, and whoa, they are such that I cannot describe them. They are absolutely wonderful. I've been there. I know when I'm there. It is a feeling. It's a knowingness. And that's the best I could do. We'll talk some more about this. The other thing I want to talk for just a second about are the celestials and God. And I hope it's okay to talk about those kinds of things on your program.
You are freely available. You're freely permit the. You don't even need permission. I don't need to give you permission.
We're going to talk about. We're going to talk about it anyway.
Were you going to you talk about whatever needs to be spoken about? Because that, you know, my preferences are less important than any news that you might have. If you see what I mean.
So my extraterrestrial friends for some time now have been saying, Mark, we don't believe in God. And I'm saying, oh, and they say, no, we don't believe in God. We are with God. We are with him. We are one with him. And I'm saying, oh, well, what does all that mean? And they say, well, you need to get a new concept of what the universe is about. And so I'm going to ask you to take JP, take a piece of paper, if you would, and a pencil.
Right. And hang on a second.
I'll go and give you a minute to get the sheet of paper.
Yep.
And a pencil or a pen.
And also for everybody else to do that, yeah?
Yes, please.
Okay. Go and grab your paper and pencils. We've got an exercise to do. I love exercises.
Okay. I assume that everybody has a piece of scratch paper or something and a pencil. And on that piece of paper, go and make a triangle with the point at the top. Just a simple triangle. If you're very artistic, you can make it look like a pyramid. But a triangle is just fine. Okay, everybody got a triangle. All right, about a third of the way down from the top of that triangle, draw a line across the triangle. And then up at the very peak of the triangle, the very top, color that in and make it kind of like a black dot. So that is the convention.
Oh, Mark, are you there? All right. Seem to
angels and archangels and the spirits and all that type of thing.
Mark, you there?
Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a pulse on my broadband there, and you just dropped out. So can you start? You're gonna have to start again. With the triangle, because you cut out for a good 20 seconds there.
Oh, sorry about that. All right, so we got the triangle, and about a third of the way down the triangle, go and draw a line across that. And then at the very top of that triangle, make a kind of a dot at the very top. Color in the very top, maybe the last one half of 1% of the triangle, very, very top. So what I'm saying is that this triangle represents the conventional ways, the traditional ways of seeing the universe, in that what is below that line are all the people here on Earth, all the physical beings. If you want to really stretch it, there are all the other physical beings in the universe, the extraterrestrials and so on. Above that line we drew at about one third of the way down are all of the angels, the celestials, the spirits, all of those that don't have a physical form. And way up at the top there is Creator, is God, whatever name you want to give it. So that's a fairly conventional way of looking at the universe. Over the last few thousand years, few hundred years maybe, a number of people have said, well, you know, God is really within us. And that is, there's some truth to that. That's outside the mainstream religions. There's many variations on that. And then we stumble up against something that says that the scientists are saying to us, the physical universe, is about 15% of all there is, and there's all this dark energy out there. And you can find this number, it's 85% according to some, 80, 90, something like that, is dark energy. And they can't account for that, but they know it's there. And the celestials are telling me that, Mark, it's really more like 95% is this stuff that your scientists cannot detect with their instruments. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to take the sheet of paper you have, and I want you to turn it upside down so that the point is at the bottom. Okay. Everybody there?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. So the point at the bottom is us. That is physical reality. That is what we're seeing here on Earth. It's you and me. It's the stage. It's the planet. That next portion up to the line we drew formerly about one third down, that indeed is the non-physical, the spirits, the those that have some form to them, call them celestials or angels. And that big space up top, which comprises probably, 80, 90, 95% of everything, that is the rest of the universe. That is where you will find the all that is. That's where you will find Creator. And that's where you're going to find all of those who are, have no form whatsoever. So this kind of turns everything on its head, which is what I intended to do. And that's what Adriel and Toth and the other celestials are telling me. This is the way it is, Mark. You're just this real tiny spot down at the bottom. And there's a whole lot more that you don't comprehend, which is up on top. And it's even more important than that is that we're the ones up top who create what's down on the bottom. And I'll say it again. Those of us that have physical form, that which is in physical form, like the earth, the other planets, the stars, that's created by those that haven't got any physical form. So they're in charge. So they have the ability to create, and they have the ability to change everything if they so desire.
Right, but okay. you're also saying that we are at the top of that inverted triangle as well.
Well, we're at the very bottom of this triangle, and physical form accounts for about a half of 1% of all there is in the universe. So I'm saying that the other 99% doesn't have any physical form, and that it's a whole lot larger than we can ever imagine. How's that?
Right. So.
So this kind of turns everything on its head, which is what I intended to do. Now, it turns out that the celestials, those that don't have a physical form, had been waiting for those of us on Earth to evolve to a place that we could get rid of third dimension. You know, I don't know about you, but third dimension is kind of a tough place to live. You know, we're all accustomed to it, but it's a pretty tough place to live. There's the wars and there's the violence and there's the fear and there's the worries about, you know, you're going to be able to get it together and get up and get to work and all that type of thing. That's all part of third dimension. And what the celestials would like to do is to get us into the fifth dimension, which is a much more pleasant place to be. And one which, believe me, I have been there, I have seen it, I've experienced it, and it is an incredible place to live. So now let's talk about what happened in December.
That's a good idea. Because so many people have, like I said before, you know, so many people have kind of poo-pooed it, but real stuff really went on. So what happened at your end?
From my perspective, there were two events that happened in December. The first of these that happened on 12-12-12. That's the 12th of December of last year. What happened there was that the magnetic underpinnings of the third dimension were removed. Now, the third dimension is the stage upon which this play is being carried out. The third dimension is dependent upon the physical form, and the third dimension is dependent upon the scripts which everybody plays according to. On 12-12-12, all of the glue that holds all this together, all the underpinnings, everything that was formerly in place that made it solid and predictable and that type of thing was removed. And it was done by the same people that had created third dimension in the first place. So these are the celestials, specifically Metatron, and Archangel Michael, And some of those folks who had been watching and waiting until we evolved a number of light workers who could stand up and say, look, we don't want to do this third dimension anymore. We want to go and get to a higher dimension because we know it's a much better place to live. And so the two in conjunction with each other, you see the celestials and a group of light workers said, okay, we're going to change things. And I was there as this happened. I watched it happen. I experienced it. And that is the best explanation I can give as to what happened on 12-12-12 of last year. So what I'm saying is that the foundation, if you will, instead of being rock solid and something that is predictable from day to day, the foundation is now based on quicksand, and it is slowly going away. So the third dimension is on its way out. It is no longer going to be with us. You and I are not functioning in the third dimension, JP. I'm quite convinced that you're in the fourth dimension. I don't see a lot of fear-based going on with you. I don't detect that. And it's only when we drop down into the fear and that type of thing we can say we're in the third dimension. A lot of the people in the planet have already moved beyond that. I'm in contact with some of the indigenous folks. You know, if you look at their lifestyles, yes, they're very primitive, but you know what? They don't have a lot of fear. And then there's a lot of other people in some of the other less developed countries. I was just down in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago. Those beautiful people down there, they don't have a lot of fear in their daily lives. They just don't. And so those of us in the so-called civilized countries, the developed countries, we live our daily lives based on fear. We based on politics and money and this and that, but that's all constructed by depending upon the third dimension. So the third dimension, the foundation of the third dimension was removed on 12-12-12.
So this is a magnetic concept, construct does that mean that there are like devices that are creating this thing?
Well, if you go back to our friend Albert Einstein, he talked about that old equation E equals MC squared, where what you do is if you slow energy enough, you create matter. So the third dimension was created by slowing matter, or slowing energy enough to create something solid. And yes, it is a magnetic way in which they do it. Don't ask me to explain that. But it's very much in line with scientific explanations of E equals MC squared. So what was removed was the process by which solid matter is created. No more of it's going to be created. It's over. It's done. And we now are going to see it disappear here in a matter of, different estimates, 3 years. And it's going to be replaced by our moving into the fifth dimension.
So this is like, this is our software reboot kind of thing.
This is getting a whole new operating system for your computer. A whole new way of doing everything. Let's look at some of the things that have happened since that 12-12-12. Now there's more to this and we'll talk about that. But let's just look at, for the moment, about the events that have happened since this 12-12-12 where the conventional way in which things have been going along is being disturbed. The most recent thing is that meteor over in Russia. I mean, that's unprecedented. that kind of thing, it certainly hasn't happened in my lifetime before. We haven't had anything like that. So what I'm seeing is a lot of things in the third dimension changing dramatically. You know, we haven't had a pope resign for 600 years. There's something going on there that doesn't.
We haven't had a queen resign for a while either.
We haven't had a queen resign for a long, long time. We haven't had, we have this thing here in America called the Super Bowl. We had an electrical outage for 45 minutes that nobody can explain. That those things don't happen. Here in the United States, we had tornadoes in December. We don't get tornadoes in December. That happens in, June, July, August. And I don't know about you, but I have a lot of people coming to me, and they are in a sheer panic about how they're going to hold on to their money, how they're going to hold on to their possessions, and how they're going to maintain control of their lives. It's like, how are we going to do all this, Mark? Everything is changing. And so, from my perspective, I see a lot of changes going on, and I can trace them back to the very foundations of third dimension slowly slipping away. Now, I'm giving you what I have been told based upon my conversations with a number of celestials. I've also given you some information I have acquired from another website called Mastering Alchemy. If you've run across a fellow by the name of Jim Self, who has been getting information from his archangels and ascended masters, and he is talking about this in some depth. And so I'm not the only one out talking about this.
Hmm. So I have a question. In fact, there were two questions that kind of converged in the same question, really. Basically, they're asking that you're referring to God as a him, and is he considered prime source creator with attachment to gender or not? Or is it just a convenience? I mean, what's the deal? God's a guy, God's a gal, what's the deal? Or are we limited by our beliefs about gender?
Well, I think we're very much limited by our beliefs about gender. I use him simply because it's convenient. I know that when Adriel comes and speaks to me, I use she there simply because she happens to have a very soft, quiet spoken way of communicating with me. When Toth comes, I refer to him as a he, simply because he has a little bit more of a masculine about him. Both of them are androgynous. Everything above the fifth dimension and above is all androgynous. We get away from this sex stuff rather rapidly as soon as we move into these higher dimensions. And so given that, yes, God is certainly without gender. I use he because I have a hard time calling God it. That just doesn't sound right. And so he seems to be a better way for me to go.
Okay, we'll clear that up. And there was also a thing about primitive races. We're very much about it's not about primitive or advanced, but there are indigenous peoples and there are imperial. I like to think about our society as an imperial society. Taking that over, so there's a sense of it's not primitive people, but traditional people. Let's say,
let's call them traditional. Let's call them traditional. Yes, and I find those traditional people have a very strong spiritual connection. They understand what I'm talking about right now. And it's not like it's something they had to be taught. It's something they simply know about, and it's part of their culture. And it's not just one particular continent. It's North America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, Africa, the Far East, everywhere. Those traditional people understand what I'm now talking about in terms of the fact that we are the small end of the triangle, and the larger part is the unseen part, if you will, of the universe. It's much, much larger. It's so much larger we can't really understand it. But let's face it, they're in charge. We're not. Traditionally, we would have liked to have thought we were in charge, but we're not. So does all that help?
I think so. So, so let me just check for... Okay, right.
So you can think of what happened there on 12-12-12 as a pathway has now been closed. A pathway that we have pursued on this planet for some 500,000 years. A pathway that we have stuck to, even though it probably wasn't the very easiest for us. But we didn't really know any other way to do it. Now, there were some very high spiritual beings. You had Jesus that came, you had Buddha, and so on. And they saw beyond this third dimension. And they did their best to go and to try to convince people there was something more. But they didn't get the impact that they would have liked to have had. They didn't make the impact. And they are quite candid about that. In that, well, we tried, Mark. We didn't quite get it done. And so now we're going to be part of this new effort. And indeed part of the gang that showed up on 12-12-12 to make these things happen was Jeshua. He prefers that to Jesus because Jesus has too many religious overtones. And so Jeshua showed up. And the way this happened for me is that there was a group of 500 of us that got together in the Phoenix, a city here in the United States, Phoenix, Arizona. And all of us were able to maintain these higher vibrations. And so along with this group of celestials, we basically went and closed this magnetic program, if you will, that had been running to make third dimensional happen. So we decided that is the way of the future, and that continuing in this third dimension probably is not in anyone's best interest.
This is on the 21st, yeah?
Oh, this is on 12-12-12.
You're still on, so they're still hanging, still at 12. All right, okay.
Yeah, so we haven't got to the 21st yet.
Okay.
I was kind of hoping to save that for the second hour because it is equally startling in terms of what happened on the 21st. And, but we can go there if you want.
No. I'm very happy to keep things in order. It's like somebody's pressed the shutdown key on the 12th and, other things happened on the 21st. So let's continue with the shutting down process.
The shutdown key. I like that. I'm going to write that down. That's a good expression, the shutdown key. Yes, that's exactly what happened is we shut things down on the 21st. Simply because, there are a few people that the third dimension serves quite well. And they have made wonderful, marvelous careers for themselves out of the third dimension. But for most of us, the third dimension doesn't really suit us very well. And so even those that are of a very high spiritual nature, all that walk a very different path, they're still doing it within the soup, if you will, the stew of the third dimension. Now if we take away that, then it makes their lives much easier, and it makes the lives of everybody that wants to get out of this much easier. And I know I'm being a bit repetitive here, but what happened there is quite difficult to understand, particularly when it's first presented to you. And I want to see if I can help people as much as possible understand that this third dimension that they have all grown to know, and I'm not going to say know and love, it's that they know it, and it doesn't matter what their circumstances are, whether they are good circumstances or whether they are not so good circumstances, they still are all caught up in the restrictions, the duality, if you will, of this third dimension. Are there any other questions before I go on?
Right. Let me just have a quick check. There is a question, but it's talking about financial systems and things like that, actually, it's about transcending the nonsense of commerce transactions. I think we should deal with that one later, piece of feedback from the Wall Spirit chat room is that 12-12-12 was huge for one of our listeners. It felt much more than on the 21st. So we'll find out what that all was about later on. But do go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. I will talk for just a minute because I think the financial situation is a good example. In the fifth dimension, you don't need money. Money goes away. You have no need for it. And so part of the transition into this higher dimension will be going into a new system of finance, a new structures. All of the things like corporations and government and that type of thing disappear because in these higher dimensions, you simply don't need them. So all the things that we, the humans of this planet have constructed are no longer necessary. Now, the glimpse I have been given of my life on Akima is quite interesting in that because we were at a higher dimension, we did not need things like money and corporations and so on. We were living a existence which is, it was much simpler, if you will, in that we had the ability to transport ourselves as we wished. We were totally telepathic, and we had the ability to create what we needed. That, and the word manifesting comes to mind rather than creating. So that is where we're headed. Because when they have no longer a third dimension, and the fourth dimension, by the way, is just a stair step into the fifth. It's a transitional state and doesn't last very long. Probably would all gone by maybe the end of this year. People are going to be making a choice. They either want to go and stay in the third dimension or they want to go and move into the fifth. And it's strictly by choice. Everybody has that ability to say, yay, I want to go. That sounds like a wonderful place. Mark is making a great case. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. I'm tired of this third dimension. I want to go away. And it would be wonderful to live in a place where we don't need to worry about money and all those things we all worry about, possessions and so on. I'll go for that. And then the other people that I encounter are saying, Mark, you're crazy. And I know what I got here, and I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to hold on to my possessions, and I'll build a big wall around my house, and I'm here. And so those are the two extremes. And then I am now encountering a lot of people who are on the fence, who are saying, you know, I'd like to know more. Tell me more. What else can you explain to me about all of this? And I'm saying, okay, well, first of all, look at the changes within me, which we'll talk about a little while here. Those of you who know me are saying, Mark, you're a lot different now than you were before. What's going on? And I'm saying, well, that's where we're all headed if you want to go there.
So, does that mean I've just moved house and I've like got vanloads and vanloads of boxes and stuff that, I'm not going to be needing them in a year or so's time. I mean, I know I'm being slightly flippant here, but at the same time, it's like, you know, how can people get their heads around this idea? This future.
Interesting, isn't it? Difficult. I would say give it 2 or 3 years, not just a year. This has been very specifically designed. You know, if you look back at what they were saying was going to happen back in 1221, is that all these massive changes were going to happen, and we're going to go through the galactic center and all of the huge changes that were going to happen to the planet, and indeed none of those happened. And the reason those did not happen was because the Celestials said, you know, we don't want that to happen this time. It has happened every 13,000 years prior to this, and there have been massive changes around the world. But this time, we're going to go and make sure that we can go and do it, a transition from a very gentle standpoint. And that indeed is what's happening. So in terms of getting your head around it, yeah, you just moved into a new place. I have a nice home here. I'm certainly not going to move out of it, but I'm watching very carefully as things change. I am watching as other people change. I'm watching as my friends change. And I'm watching... I was having lunch with someone yesterday, and I said, you know, it's like I decided not to tune into the third dimension channel anymore on the television. It just doesn't really, not there for me. And I find that I can get along just fine without it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to go and eat every day and sleep and have a roof over my head and be warm and comfortable and all that type of thing. No, it just means that I'm not going to go and support that third dimensional way of being. That will come in time to everybody, and you'll have to make a choice. You want to continue to go and play in the very difficult circumstances, or do you want to go and try something that is totally new and different? And I don't know if that helps or not, but that's probably about the best I can do for the moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good. It's moving house is a good way of letting go of the past, or at least reorganizing it. I've discovered I've got about 4 satellite boxes in the shed. I don't know where they came from because I never watch TV. So anyway, we're moving through the fourth dimension now, and people have been, you know, wondering about what this experience is going to be like. Things have happened to you personally. So, what's happened in your life that is giving you clues that what your contacts have said is actually indeed coming to pass right now?
Well, I'll give you this teaser, and I'll go into it in more depth in the next hour. But I think I've moved from a place of anxiety, being anxious about things, to a place of confidence, that I have great confidence in what's coming in the future. Great confidence that things are going to be a whole lot better, that things are going to be the way I would like them to be, and I'm not going to be controlled by so many outside influences. So that's an inner knowingness, if you will, and a feeling that I can handle this. I can handle whatever it is that comes. And I'm really not too anxious about, okay, what's going to go away in the near future? And how am I going to go and put 2 and 2 together and make it all come out? So moving away from anxiety into a state of confidence is one of the things I would point to JP, as what's happened to me.
Okay. So here we are. We're at the top of the hour. That's really whacked by. I don't know what dimension we've been in, but that 1 hour has just by like a blinking of an eyelid. So we're going to play a wee tune. This tune is created by the Sons of Arca, who are a musical fusion collective. They fuse East and West music. This track is called The Great Invocation, which is in fact the esoteric invocation to bring us into the fourth dimension and to end the rule of evil and things like that. So let's have a listen to that, and we'll see you on the other side. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
This is Ever Beyond with JP.
Yes, this is Ever Beyond with JP, and tonight I'm speaking to MK, to Mark Kimmel, we were just about to start talking about some interesting things, do you want to pick up the thread from where you were?
Let's do that. Actually, let's, instead of picking up the thread, so let me ask you this, are there lots of new listeners, or can we jump into something new, or should we go back and try to recap maybe what happened a little bit for people that are just joining us?
I'm sure everybody's up to speed on this and hungry for the new stuff.
Okay. So, we have been talking about the 12-12-12, which happened in the first part of December. Now, most people were focused on 12-21, that magical date that had been predicted by the Mayans, had been predicted by a lot of different people as being something where magical things were going to happen to the Earth, catastrophes were going to happen, we were going to have planetary shifts all over the place. We were passing through the galactic plane. There was the alignment of the planets with the central sun, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And for all outward appearances, really nothing happened. I think you would agree with that. But something did happen, and it was actually something much larger than a simple passage through another circle around the Milky Way galaxy. You see, we've been circling around the Milky Way galaxy every 26,000 years. Every 13,000 years, we cross the galactic plane. And typically that has produced all kinds of planetary shifts, changes of the landscape, if you will. To use my way of looking at it, the stage upon which the play was being carried out got changed a number of times. But this time it didn't happen. But what happened was something fundamentally much larger. What happened is that there was a tremendous amount of energy that came into this planet. And it came in from all of the great beings up there in the top half of the triangle, those non-physicals who had been originally in charge of creating physical. And what they did is once they had closed the pathway to the third dimension, they went and opened up a pathway to a much larger reality. This larger reality, I'm going to call the multidimensional reality. And it was opened up for everybody in physical form, not just those of us here on Earth. And this is what has gotten my friends from Andromeda so excited, in that they said, Mark, you've done it. You did what you came there to do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you look at some of my recent postings there on comicparadigm.com, you'll see a posting in early January from a couple of my friends from Andromeda. And then also a posting I did just a couple of days ago. And those postings are of quite a different tenure than they were, say, 6 months ago. And I think folks will pick up on that quite readily. So what was changed on 12/21 is that we're not just going into another step in our evolution. We are like the chrysalis that goes and creates the butterfly. If you can think of us in third dimension, we were the ones, we were like the worms that had made, the caterpillars that had made the cocoon. And then we went into that cocoon and we have now emerged as butterflies. It's that dramatic a change. I tell people you cannot extrapolate from third dimension to get to fifth. You can't do that. You can't say, well, we had, what kind of money are you going to have in the fifth? Because, you got to have some kind of money because there's barter and exchange and you got to take energy and exchange it for energy. And, how am I going to do this without any money? And so we're going to have a barter society. And the answer is no. We might have a barter society for a period of very short period of time, but that's all going away. So you cannot extrapolate to get to the fifth dimension. You can't do it.
So you can't look at the fifth dimension in third dimensional terms.
Exactly. You can't do it. You can't do it. You have to go and experience the fifth dimension. That's the only way you can do it. Now, the other thing you can't do in the fifth dimension is you can't use the rational mind. And that's this thing that sits on top of our shoulders. You cannot go and use our rational minds that we're very, very comfortable using nowadays. We try to figure things out. And I don't know about you, JP, but I sit around and try to analyze things. Well, you can't analyze. You can't get there by thinking it. You just can't do it. That's not the pathway. And again, this is not just to the fifth dimension. This is to a multi-dimension. Because there are many dimensions beyond the fifth dimension. My celestial friends tell me that there are 65 dimensions. You can only go as high as 12 because we're going to be still in some sort of physical form. So physical form is not going to change. Well, it's not going to go away, I should say. But it's going to change dramatically. It'll be a physical form that is much more fluid. It's going to be a physical form that is unlike anything we are now accustomed to. And I'm talking about human physical form. Now, we're also being told that the planet herself, Gaia is going to this fifth dimension. So now all of a sudden the stage upon which the players have been playing out this third dimensional play for about 500,000 years is going to go and be changed also. So the very stage is changing. It's going to fifth dimension. It's becoming more fluid. One of the things that everybody can understand from their science classes and in school is that an atom is basically there's nothing there except a few little particles racing around, and most of it is just nothing. It's a vacuum. And so it's very easy to go and see how you can take energy and slow it down enough to create an atom. And if you decide you don't want atoms anymore, you want something else, you simply change the form of energy. Now, we might see it as being somewhat solid, right now. I mean, I'm sitting here in front of a computer. I'm at a desk. I'm on a chair, and things appear to be solid. But that's my mind going and making solid out of something that isn't solid. So the fifth dimension will be even less solid than what we have today. And that's the earth transforming. And that means all the plants, the animals, the fish, the oceans, the land, the rocks, everything is transforming to a lighter density. Now the next logical step of this, if you can call it logical, is that all of the man-made structures will become obsolete. All of them. If we don't need computers and telephones to communicate with each other because we're going to be telepathic, then what do we need computers and telephones and things like that for? And so all of those are going to become obsolete. Several years ago, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago, my Andromedan friends took me aboard one of their starships and showed me that they were in the process of towing the moon away. So the moon is no longer going to be part of our reality. They actually showed me the moon broken into three pieces, and they were going to be towing that away. Now, it's very interesting. I had Tolak check that out with his Andromeda Council friends. And that's a couple of months ago. And he said, yes, Mark, that's true. That's what they're telling me also. And then I went and checked it with some of the spiritual people within the indigenous tribes. And they said, yes, that's our understanding also, that the moon is going to go away. Excuse me, just a second, PJ.
Okay, well, this moment, the moon going away, and does that mean that our night sky is going, I mean, are we going away from the moon as well? Are we leaving the solar system, or the solar system is becoming, what's going to, you know, so many questions. The night sky, I mean, that's one of my favorite things, living up here in north of Scotland. The skies are, when it's not raining, often very clear and very crisp, and you can see the Milky Way and things like that. What's the effect of what's going to be the changes that will happen to the night sky? I mean, so we'll lose the moon. Are we going to watch it as it's broken up? So many questions.
I love this. This is one that a lot of people can get their heads around rather easily. The night sky is probably not going to change a whole lot for us, except that you see, as a fifth dimensional planet, we will have a light of our own, and that we're going to be called Earth Star rather than just Earth. Within each of us, individual, there are tremendous energies. And once we ascend to this fifth dimensional state, we are going to start emanating our own light. And so Earth, too, will start emanating its own light. And it will be known as Earth Star. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be like our sun, but it will have a light of its own.
Kind of like Jupiter and Saturn, really, yeah.
And once again, I want to emphasize that the only way you can get to this is to comprehend it from a fifth dimensional standpoint, from looking at it from that point of view. And that's the best I can do. I'm having a hard time putting this into words, because when you're in the fifth dimension, you don't use words. You use feelings, you use pictures, you use a knowingness. And so trying to get this back down into a fifth or a third dimension so that you and I can talk about it is rather on the difficult side, okay?
Yeah. Okay, so okay. So do go on, and because things are getting exciting now.
Okay, so and I'm saying here a lot simply because some of this is rather difficult to talk about. I get very emotional about it because I see where we are headed, and it is absolutely beautiful, and it goes way beyond, you know, peace and justice and the end of poverty and environmental pollution, all that type of thing. Yes, all of that is going to happen, but it's so much bigger and better than that. What my Andromedan friends are saying, well, you know, Mark, we've been existing in the fifth dimension, but all of a sudden you and your friends along with the celestials have opened this up so that we can now exist in multi-dimensions. And oh, this is so exciting. We've never been able to do this before. And they're speaking for all of physical reality, all of the ETs, if you will, on all the other planets are equally excited about what's going on.
All right.
So now...
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead.
No, it's just more questions. When you say they're existing in multi-dimensions, is it that we have created some kind of precedent that allows... Sorry, but it's an interesting point. Okay, so by our moving into the fourth dimension, that allows, that's like, it was like the matchstick that's holding everything up. Having pulled the matchstick out, everything starts moving again. Is that
you got it? Yes. Yep. I like that analogy. We have essentially lighted the fire under everybody else.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, brilliant.
And,
so,
and it's,
go ahead.
And it's a very good fire, and they're all very grateful. So let me just go and talk a little bit now about what this has meant for me. You had asked me before what it means, and again, I find it rather hard to express this in words, but I'm going to do my best. From a fifth dimensional standpoint, I can see the cracks in the third dimension. I can see them everywhere. The third dimension is not the same old dimension that it was a few months ago. It's not. The rhetoric, the media, my friends that I encounter, the way in which people go and behave, everything is changing. The way in which you go into the grocery store and people are smiling and they're happier. I go into other public places and people are less stressed. I don't see nearly as many angry people. I see a few that are holding on to their anger. But I see my wife and I were at a basketball game last evening. And it was a very rough and tumble basketball game. But instead of all of the anger that sometimes accompanies these kind of games, because very close, right down to the final minute, everyone sat there and just kind of enjoyed the game. We don't always see that. There's always a lot of high emotions, but here it was a great sense of ease and peace. Not so much the dynamics of before. And so that's what I'm seeing. And to me, those are showing that the third dimension is changing rather dramatically. As I said earlier, you know, you can't get to the fifth dimension by extrapolating from this old third dimension. I have regular discussions with people about, one of my friends called up and said, Mark, you know, the government's going to impose some new restrictions. You better go and sell your gold and your silver. Oh, you can't have a bank account anymore because they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And my reaction was, well, you know, maybe, but somehow or other, that doesn't concern me anymore. I know that I'm going to get through this, and if they impose restrictions, somehow or the other, I have this incredible sense of confidence that it's not going to impact me. It's like, once again, it's like I don't want to go and tune into that channel that produces fear, because if I go and dwell on that fear, I can create that as well as anything else. So if I can create this other way of seeing things, that's where I'm headed.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point about the what you're tuning into, being it. Think things have become for me a little more polar. Things, you know, if you go into one direction, it becomes a lot more intense, a lot more quickly. It kind of escalates quickly, as the film says, but. It's interesting also that you were talking about before the 21st, you were a bit anxious, or before December, you were a bit anxious. And I certainly was feeling a sense of anxiety up until about the 23rd. And then things started to kind of relax and expand a bit. So that's something that I was going through as well. So do go on, because this is good.
I think you're right on top of it, JP. You're feeling it. You're there. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that I'm feeling is changes in my physical body. And a lot of other people are feeling changes. They're feeling, there are days when I feel very heavy. Yesterday was a heavy day. I felt like I was maybe 2 feet tall and weighed 500 pounds. This morning I felt as though I was 20 feet tall and, was light as a feather. And these are not just, you know, things you get in meditation. They are real feelings. And then I have a lot of friends, who are, they have all kinds of illnesses and sicknesses, and they check into the hospital and nothing is wrong. The doctors can't find anything wrong with them. Very interesting. So I'm feeling changes to my physical body. These are feelings that I have not had before. And then, of course, some of them are old feelings that are coming back for a second go, and I'm wondering, oh, I thought I got rid of that a long time ago. But a lot of physical changes. I think that staying with my own personal changes for a moment, I'm finding myself asking for a lot more quiet time. I'm just not doing well with the hustle and bustle of an everyday kind of reality. I need more quiet time where I can go out and just get in touch with who I really am. In my business world, I was the consummate type A personality, in that I was go, 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 and do this, do that, and I had to constantly have something to do. Now, I don't relish that at all. I'm wanting more quiet time, more time for myself.
I can really relate to that. Really, really relate. and at the same time, there seems to be a lot more demand for my attention, from various angles, lots of different angles. But that's one of the big challenges that I'm experiencing. You know, finding time to do things, and also finding time to keep myself sane.
And I think that if I can be so bold as to suggest, what you're doing there is you're separating yourself from the third dimension. You are making the decisions that I'm going to do this kind of thing, but I'm not going to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so the kind of things you don't want to do, of course, say, well, you know, they're all asking for attention. It's like, pay attention to me. How about this? How about that? And it's like, no, I don't think so. I'm not sure I need any of that. I mean, that's the way it is for me. It's the corollary to this is I'm finding this a wonderful time to be alive. I'm seeing all of these things happen that I never expected would happen in my lifetime. I perfectly, expected when I came here and grew up and so on to lead a very conventional life. And I have been drug out of that conventional life, sometimes kicking and screaming, but I am so happy where I am now. It's just an incredible time to be alive. And I'm doing a lot of focusing on my own personal spiritual evolvement, spiritual growth. And I'm loving it. I'm just absolutely loving it. If I had my way, I would stay in this fifth dimension or whatever it is you want to call it all the time. I would just live there. To me, it is very gratifying, very, very gratifying. A couple of the other things that have come in on me is that for the first time, I understand oneness. I understand really what it means to be one. I thought I understood it before, but now I understand it at a level of being one with absolutely everything, you know, from the grass to the trees to my friends in Andromeda to all the way up to the Godhead, to the all that is, to the Creator. I can be in this oneness, and it, once again, it's a feeling, it's a knowingness. I can't express it in words other than say, I've been there, I know what it's like, and it's absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
So, Mark, we've only got half an hour left. It's just, like I say, this is just whizzing by. So, have you finished with the 12? Can we move on to the 21st?
Well, we're talking about the 21st. The 21st is when the pathway to the multidimensional reality was opened. The 12-12 is when the third dimension was shut off. And 1221 is when this new pathway to the higher dimensions was opened up. So it was hand in glove, if you would. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, sorry, my mistake. So, new pathways, new paradigm. Where do we go?
Well, we are we're on the path if we choose to be. You know, it's still a matter of choice. It's a matter of people need to go and to learn how to, pardon me, learn how to maintain themselves at this big high vibration state. It's taken me a couple of years of very intense training to learn how to be there myself. It's a marvelous process. I wouldn't trade it for anything else I've ever done in my life. I understand myself so much better than I've ever understood myself before. I know who I am. As I said, I understand being in oneness. I understand being connected to all the way up and down the triangle from the very bottom to the very top. That is the opening that happened on 1221. So we didn't have this incredible change in terms of dramatic changes. Everything now is a very much an internal change. It's changes within us and moving away from that outer world, moving away from the day-to-day and paying attention to who we are and how we are going to take care of ourselves. Liking ourselves. Just, you know, ask yourself, do you really, really like yourself just the way you are? And, I've gotten to that place. I like myself. I really do like myself. If there are any questions, I would be happy because I know we're throwing out a lot of stuff here that is, can be quite strange to a lot of people. I hope that everybody will come and visit this website of mine. and partake of some of these wonderful insights and these wonderful messages that I'm getting. They are, to me, I'm off in this new world, if you will, and it's an amazing place to be. That's all I can say. Absolutely amazing.
So, Mark, we have one question here. Well, it's a question that many people are, and you know, you'll relate to this because people around you will have asked this question. So the question is from Free Sovereign. While within this transition period, fully into 5D, but not quite there, what actions should we be doing during the temporary need for finances and commerce? As in, what should we be doing for our finances?
What I am doing, and that's all I can relate to, is same old, same old. If you have a job, you keep paying attention to the job. If you have a bank account, you keep the money there, you spend it. If you have taxes to pay, you go pay taxes. I would say same old, same old. But having said that, you do it with a new attitude. You do it with an attitude that says, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this. That's my one foot in the third dimension. But now I'm going to put a second foot over here in the fifth dimension. And I'm going to do whatever is necessary over in the third dimension to maintain myself. But I'm going to focus more of my attention to becoming who I really am. I'm going to focus more of my attention on growing who I am. I'm going to go find a way to get into this fifth dimension that Mark Kimmel's talking about, because that seems like a good way to go. I'm going to go find out about more about it. And then I'm going to go and find a way somehow or the other to move myself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically into this higher reality. So it's like a keeping one foot in each of these realities, but emphasizing more and more. And what I find is that this third dimensional stuff, it just kind of takes care of itself. It just does. And I don't know how to explain it any better than that, but as long as I don't focus too much attention on it, it just does. It just takes care of itself. And that gives me plenty of time to go out and pay attention to what I really want to focus on in my life.
Excellent. That's lovely. Yeah, sorry, my flash crashed. I lost the chat room again. So this, again, this is about who we are, basically all the stuff that I've been going on about for the last 3 years is the expression of the soul within, the our creative spark, our little chunk of God inside us, gender non-specific there. But
what it's doing, yeah, JP, is to take that spark of God that you understand that is within you and expanding that exponentially now to understand who you really are, that you are more than just a spark of God within you, that you are this great energetic being that came here to have this physical experience, and you're here helping other people to understand who they really are and understand that there's more to them than just the spark, that in essence they are filled with this and that they are part of this larger reality. And that it is by their choice that they came here. You know, a lot of people think, well, we got caught in this reincarnation thing. You didn't get caught in reincarnation. You made a choice each time you incarnated here. You came here willingly. Each time You came here to learn something. And the other thing that's happening is that there's no more reincarnation. It's over. It's done. Excuse me.
That's okay. So there's no more reincarnation. So future lives, well, hey, let's talk about time. What's the deal with time? How's it going to change for us? I mean, apart from the fact that we've only got 20 minutes left off this show. Again, it's snap by.
Okay, very good question. People in the fifth dimension do not die. They make a choice as to when they wish to pass away from their body. And some of them, like our friends from the inner earth, can live to be several thousand years old. And some can decide, well, I've had enough, and they call it quits whenever they feel like it. So that's an aspect of time. Now, time also becomes, the word I've been given is it's a coincident time, and that it happens now. Everything is in the now. And so all of these changes that I've been talking about from the third dimension to the fifth dimension, once you are operating over in this fifth dimension, all of the changes happen instantly from that perspective. And so we're losing third dimensional time, linear time. Well, one of the interesting things is I learned that the celestials who created this third dimension also created linear time, and it was a gift to us as a means of keeping track of how things were going. And so that goes away with third dimension, and we wind up with the now. So one of the things we can do for ourselves is to live more in the now. And we can make that choice right now. And that's part of keeping one foot in the third dimension and taking care of your day-to-day things, and the other foot in the higher dimension, living in the now, learning who you are, and all of a sudden things just happen. They happen... I don't want to say if by magic, but that's what I'm going to say. It's as if it's magic, because all these things just happen, and we have the ability to go and create whatever it is we want for ourselves in the higher dimensions.
So thank you. I'm watching the chat from the chat room and there's a lot of there's debates and things that are going on, and this is going on like all over the net, and people have many different ideas about what's happening, who's in charge, what's going on, and what I get the feeling is that everybody's right. Whatever they've been focusing on, whatever they've been researching, yes, you're absolutely right, but there are different ways of looking at things, or it's basically the way of being is as you're talking about, is that it's, you start with who you are and extend outwards rather than going out to find out who you are. Does that make sense?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You got it exactly. What I tell people is that if you look out, you can see various levels of consciousness playing out their particular way of seeing things. So different levels of consciousness. Now, there's no good and there's no bad. It's just that people are at different levels of consciousness, and that's the way in which they see things. So why do you want to go out and sample all these different levels of consciousness when you have within yourself everything you need to know? You have it within you. So as you said, look within you, and then you can go and project that outward rather than going outward and trying to find bits and pieces of knowledge and pull them into you. From my perspective, these bits and pieces of knowledge that you get from, I don't know about you, JP, but I get hundreds of messages coming at me every day. You know, Mark, read this. Isn't this swell? Oh, wonderful. This wonderful message and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh my gosh, if I read all these wonderful messages, I would wind up, you know, a basket case because I couldn't comprehend everything. So I try to go and get into my, what I call my inner clock, my inner gauge, and say, okay, this is where I am, and I know who I am. And that's all that's important to me.
That's it. So interesting. There's a lot of fours going on just now. It's 444 in PST. It's 444. There's 40 in the chat room. It's all very interesting. So, yes, four. What four? There's lots of different realities, and it's more about creating the reality that is congenial to your spirit.
Exactly.
If you're caught in the worries about money, the worries about government, the worries about martial law and all of that stuff, that's, you know, you could call it a trap, but there is not really a trap, because you can, just by taking some time out, you know, even just walking down the street, you know, looking for a tree, walk on some grass, take your shoes off and walk on some grass, and get into the now, allow the past to be in the past and the future to not manifest yet, and allow, and I'm still trying to find the right word, that means to allow something to happen without any interference from yourself. It's like the same attitude you take towards a flower, that you allow the flower to open all by itself, without, you know, ripping the leaves out and ripping the petals out to make the flower come out, you know. I haven't found the right word yet, but the closest is allow. It's about allowing yourself to flower outwards without that external pressure.
That's very beautiful. Thank you. I like that. Allowing yourself to flower. That's a beautiful expression, JP. Yes, that's really what this is all about. Now, one of the questions that somebody should have asked is, okay, Mark, how do we get trained to get to the fifth dimension? Because it's not something you just say, you wake up one day and you say, okay, I'm going to be in the fifth dimension. That sounds like fun. Let's go there. What we're being told about the fifth dimension is that in order to maintain this fifth dimension, you have to be able to control your thoughts and emotions at every instant, because you're going to be able to manifest at every instant. So if you cannot control your emotions and thoughts at every moment, you're going to be manifesting maybe stuff you really don't want. So the restriction that has been put on the fifth dimension is that only those who are manifest from a place of love can be there. In other words, if you are coming from a place of fear, you simply cannot be in the fifth dimension. You can't be there, because the laws of the fifth dimension say no. So until you can learn how to, and I'm not there yet, which is why I'm not in the fifth dimension all the time, by the way, until you can learn how to manage your thoughts and emotions 24/7, you cannot go and reside in the fifth dimension 24/7. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we've still got stuff to deal with.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and give a recommendation to you and whoever else is listening to this program. go and check out Mastering Alchemy. And it's masteringalchemy.com. And you can find one place, and there are many others, who can tell you how to go and manage yourself so you can get into the fifth dimension. I just have had great benefit from Mastering Alchemy, and so I'm recommending that. There are others that I'm quite sure are every bit as good at training you to maintain yourself so that you can manage your thoughts and emotions, so that when you get into a place where you are manifesting, for instance, in the fifth dimension, you can manifest an apple in your hand. Well, that's great, but if you're coming from a place of fear, there's no telling what you might try to manifest in that fifth dimension. And what you wind up in your hand with, you may not like. So it's not going to happen. And that, once you get a hold of that concept, you understand where we're really headed, is into that place where everybody is going to be manifesting the greater good, not only of themselves, but for everybody else. And I have to tell you, that's the place I want to be. I can't think of anywhere else that I would rather be than there. I'm tired of this third dimension. It's not serving me or any of my associates or friends very well. Some seem to think it is, but I'm sorry, it just doesn't, because I have seen the other side and it is absolutely wonderful. And that's where I want to go, and that's where I want to go. That's my job, is to try to paint that picture to help people understand that this is where we can go. And I'm available to assist. And so that's what my website is about. I understand I can't change anybody else, but I can go and set an example for them. Everybody has to do this for themselves. It's a very individual journey. You can't pull anybody along. You can't push anybody along. But I think I'm very optimistic that a lot of the people on this planet are going to go and choose this. And because the alternative is to try to stay with a third dimension that is disappearing, and that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's right. So, and it's 9 minutes to go, not even 9 minutes, about 6 minutes to go. We're chugging on through. We do have to make the choice, though, to step away from that. I mean, the image I've got is of like, what do you call them? A merry-go-round. You know, where everybody's going up and down and up and down on the horses, but the motors become unstuck, and the governor on the motor has broken. And it's getting faster and faster and faster. And it's getting harder and harder to hold on to your horse. As this thing is going up and down, around and around, it's going faster and faster. The horse is going up and down. And there's a kind of optimal point at which to jump off. Do you think, or is there a precedent of people that made the transition, but you know, it was hard. It caused them a bit of harm.
I don't know of anybody who has made the transition that caused them a bit of harm. I know people that have had difficulties making the transition. I know people that are partway through it and have decided that for the moment it's too hard to do, and have backed away from it temporarily. But part of the reason for closing out the third dimension is to make it much easier for people to get into this fifth. Because if you don't have the third dimension to fall back to, then the path to the higher dimensions looks like it's a pretty good way to go. So you don't have the old habits, you don't have the old entanglements, you don't have the old ways of doing things continually pulling you back into the third dimension. Or at least they're not as strong as they used to be. they're still there. I still have some habits that pull me back into the lower vibrations. Sure, I've still got those. But I'm working on those, and I think I'm getting ahead of the game quite nicely. But part of the reason that all of this was done at the celestial level is that it makes a much easier path for those people that truly want to get out of the third dimension and get into the fifth dimension. It's much, much easier than it was for some of the great teachers who came along, because they had a great struggle to leave behind the third and get into the fifth. Now we have a much easier time of it. And I think with each person that goes and moves from the third to the fifth, it kind of greases the skids, if you will. It makes it much easier for the next person to go and do it.
Yes, it widens the aperture, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
So, Mark, we're coming to the end of the show. It's been a wild ride, interstellar, intergalactic, interdimensional. We've learned some things, and I think, in a way, we've managed to kind of get to recognize things that are already going on for us. And I'm sure a lot of the audience have nodded in agreement with you as I've been expounding on your experiences. And so thank you very much for coming. So please, can you remind people of your website? And do you give lectures, and are there workshops and things like that for people to learn a little bit more about what you're talking about?
Yes, let me do a little of that. The website is Cosmic Paradigm, all run together, Cosmic, paradigm.com, or you can just put in markkimmel.com. It'll get you there also. Or if you like letters, ZQYX, it'll get you there also. And on that website, there are announcements about things we're going to be doing. There, check out Athabantian, check out Mark's Corner, check out Institute of Light. All of these things are ongoing projects. We try to keep them up to date. It's all about helping you get through this transformative process. Yes, there are books for sale, but I have to say in all honesty that these books have been, that they're a good first step. But what has happened in December has taken us so far beyond anything that I've been able to write about, that the books are a good first step for those that are just awakening. They're the kind of books you would give to, as a present to someone, if you have somebody you would like to awaken. But I'm not selling books. I'm simply selling this concept, and I'm inviting everybody to go and join with me to see if we can all get through and onto this new pathway as quickly as possible.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mark Kimmel. And stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be doing the Frank Jordan Earthmind Think Tanks. Things are very exciting here, and here at Wall Spirit Radio. And we will, I'll be here on, when was it? Tuesday. I'll be on Revolution Radio at 12 PST, and we'll be on Wall Spirit Radio at 6 to 8 PST with Andrew Bartzis with Soul Expressions. And with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening, and we'll see you in a few minutes.